Good morning. It's one of those half-back Sundays. Everybody's from their back for some reason. Before we get started on the message, I wanted to remind you that we have our evening service tonight. It's the first Sunday of the month, so we have our evening service at 6 o'clock. Two purposes in that service. Number one is we wanted to have a service at least once a month for people whose jobs don't respect Sunday morning and they have to work on Sunday mornings. And the second reason was I wanted to give these young men that I'm working with teaching about pastoral ministry, I want to give them opportunities to preach. And so each Sunday night, each month, on the first Sunday in the evening service, we've had a different young man bring the message. And this month, we have a young man named Mark Ngoga. Mark is from Uganda, and he has a really thick English accent, so I'll let him tell you that story tonight. But Mark is a student at CSU Pueblo, and he's 20 years old and is really feeling God calling him into ministry. And so we've been working with him through Steel City for a while, through Steel City Fellowship, and for the past 3 weeks, I've been working with him on his message for this evening, and it's really interesting and really good. He's really got a good message put together. And so come back, and it's a good opportunity to hear somebody other than me preach, and I know you'll be blessed with what Mark has to say tonight. All right, with that being said, I want to begin with a story today. When my second daughter, Melody, when she was 2 years old, we had kind of a scary incident. It was Labor Day weekend. We were at a barbecue at some friend's house, and there were several families from the church that had gathered there, and we were having a barbecue together. It was kind of a potluck thing, and everybody was together, and the kids were all playing and jumping on a trampoline. And Melody was 2 years old, one of the youth kids had her out there, and they were playing, and halfway through the get-together, that youth brought Melody to me because she was crying really bad and wouldn't stop crying. And so I picked up my little two-year-old Melody, and I was holding her and patting her and got her to quit crying, and she was okay. And so then I took her and set her down so she could walk on the deck. We were outside, and as soon as I set her on the ground, she shook and screamed. Scared me to death. I had never seen her do that before. And so we instantly scooped her up, grabbed her big sister Elizabeth, got in the car, and went to the hospital. Turns out she had a broken leg. She was jumping on the trampoline with the big kids and locked her knee backwards and broke the top of her bone by her knee. And so we had little two-year-old Melody in a full leg cast for quite a while. Exactly a year later, on Labor Day weekend at another barbecue with some church people, she broke her arm, falling off a teeter-totter. Now, if you know me, you know that I love people, I love our church, and I love food. So why in the world would I jump up so fast and leave this great barbecue with people I love when we were having a great time? Why would I leave that? Well, the answer is because that little girl is my treasure. And she comes before all of that. More important than barbecue, more important than my friends, more important than my church family, is my little girl. And if she's hurt, she's going to get my attention. And everybody else can wait. That's a story to explain how we act when we treasure something. The things that are most important in our lives. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. And we're going to do that by looking in Matthew chapter 6. Now, if you remember, we are in the second part of our Thrive message. We're talking about honoring God with our finances. We're talking about our worldly wealth. And I think that's why everybody sat in the back this morning. Last Sunday, we talked about trusting his riches. That's the first part of our Thrive idea. trusting his riches. And we looked in the book of Malachi and saw that when we do not trust God with our worldly wealth, when we put him at the very end and serve all of our possessions and all of our things first, then we pay the consequences. That's an unhealthy, disobedient way to live our lives. However, when we put God first, when he is the priority in our worldly wealth and our material possessions and our finances, when God comes first, then we reap the benefits of that relationship and that new life of obedience. And so that's what we talked about last week. And as I told you this week, we're going to be talking about investing in ventures that are eternal. Now we get to talk about storing treasure in heaven and what that looks like. And to do that, we're going to look at something Jesus taught in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's in Matthew chapter 6. And this is a part of a sermon that Jesus preaches that begins back in chapter 5 and goes for three chapters. And he talks all about various things. It's a beautiful passage. If you've never read the Sermon on the Mount, you should go home and read it today after we're done. But today, we're going to be right kind of in the middle of that sermon, chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 24. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Here's what Jesus says. "Don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but collect for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So, if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can be a slave to two masters, since he will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot be slaves of God and of money." There's three things I want to talk about today in our investing in eternity. Number one is the place of investment. Where does our investment lie? The second is the purpose of investing. Why does God command this? Why does Jesus teach this? What does he desire for us? And the third thing is the priority of investing. Why it's important that this comes first. And then when we get to the end, just like last week, I'm going to give you some very practical steps of what this looks like and how we can do that. So let's begin by taking a look at a couple verses at the beginning, verses 19 and 20. He says, "Don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But collect for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal." Store up treasure in heaven, not on earth. That is not a suggestion from Jesus. That is a command. That is something that he is telling us we must do. And there's a bigger picture here. There's a bigger reason for this. We are called to treasure God above everything else in life. In Matthew chapter 22, there's an instance where an expert in the law comes and asks Jesus, what's the greatest command? What's the greatest command? And Jesus' answer to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command," Jesus says. We should treasure God, love God more than anything else, with our whole being, first and foremost. And anything that we treasure more than God is sinful. Anything that we treasure more than God is sinful. Because remember, Jesus said that's the greatest command, first and foremost. And so this applies to all different areas of our life. This treasuring things of heaven is not just about our money. However, as we read today down in verse 24 of our passage, Jesus says you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. So in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, he's talking about our money. And so what does that look like? How do we serve God in that way? It seems at first that Jesus is giving us his reasoning here. On earth, treasures are destroyed, but in heaven, they're protected. I figured out this was very true just yesterday. I went down to my mom and dad's house to pick up my dad's 1969 Mach 1 Mustang. It's been sitting in his barn for 6 years. It hasn't run for 6 years. And as I went down and I pulled that car out, and I remember it from when he bought it, pulled it out of the barn, loaded it on a trailer, and brought it up here, I realized moth and rust destroy. Things on earth do not last forever. And you know that with the things on earth that you have, unless you are constantly keeping them up, improving them, they're just getting worse and worse and worse. And so the first reasoning there is that Jesus says, store up treasure in heaven because there it lasts forever. In 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5, it says, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorruptible, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being protected by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. The first idea there is that we have an inheritance. We get to have a retirement plan, a treasure stored up in heaven that one day we will get to fully and completely enjoy. And it is stored there, and it is protected, and it is imperishable. But there's even greater news here than that. When we store treasure in heaven, we have access to that treasure right here and right now. In Hebrews 12, 22 through 24, it says, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels in festive gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn whose names have been written in heaven, to God who is the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous people made perfect, Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which says better things than the blood of Abel. That passage tells us that we have arrived. You are in the new Jerusalem. You are in the presence of God. And one of my favorites in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, together with Christ Jesus, he also raised us up and seated us in the heavens, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that Ephesians 2:6 is in past tense? He raised us up with Christ. That's over. That's done. He seated us with Christ in the heavenly realms. That's over. That's done. And why did God do it? So that in the coming days, God's incredible riches might be displayed in your life. That people would see that. The treasure that we store in heaven, we have access to right now, because we're living our eternal life right now. One of my favorite books, aside from the Bible, is this book. It's called The Divine Conspiracy. It's by a guy named Dallas Willard, and that's actually all about the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached. And here's what he says about this idea. Eternity is now ongoing. I am now leading a life that will last forever. Upon my treasure in heavens, I now draw for present needs. If, with a view to my needs in this life, I have to choose between having good credit with a bank and having good credit with God, I would not hesitate a moment. By all means, let the bank go. The first reason that we store up our treasures in heaven is that heaven is our home now. Now and for all eternity. But there's even greater purpose than this. And that's what Jesus goes on to teach us in verses 21 through 23. For where your treasure is, he says, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So, if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? Jesus gives us his ultimate purpose in this command, the reason he commands us to store treasure in heaven. It's not just about having a good retirement plan. It's about more than that. And that's what he teaches us now. And he shows us what I call in verse 21, the rule of the heart. The rule of the heart is that your heart follows your treasure. Your heart follows the things that you treasure. And then to explain why that's so important, he gives us an illustration. People navigate this world with our eyes. That's just the way that we move around our world. Snakes use their tongue, bats use their ears. We use our eyes. That's how we navigate the world. And so Jesus is giving an illustration. He says, your eyes are how you get around the world. So if your eyes are bad, it becomes very difficult to navigate this world. How many of you know that truth? If your eyes are bad, it becomes very difficult to navigate this world. But then Jesus goes on to say something after that. If the light within you is darkness, what does he mean by that? Do you know what miracle Jesus performs more than any other miracle? Sight to the blind. He gives sight to the blind more than anything else in all of Scripture. And I want to share with you one really interesting instance of that from the book of Mark. In Mark chapter 8, we have a very strange healing story. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. Then they came to Bethsaida. They brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and brought him out of the village. Spitting in his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Again, Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes, and he saw distinctly. He was cured and could see everything clearly. This is the only two-phase healing we have in Scripture. Now, did this happen because Jesus wasn't quite powerful enough to heal him the first time? No, we know stories of Jesus healing people from miles away, just saying, "Yeah, he's healed, go home." So what is he doing here? I think part of the reason that Jesus healed the blind more than anything else, and part of the reason that he gives us this illustration in Mark 8, is because he wants us to see how important it is to have clarity in order to navigate the world. And even if you have vision but not good vision, it's still not good enough. Our heart is the eyes of our soul. Our heart is the way that we navigate this world. The decisions that you make on a daily basis, whether you go left or right, that's because of your heart. That's the way you navigate this world. And some of us have a partially healed heart. We have a heart that some of the time treasures the things of heaven, and some of the time treasures the things of earth instead. And we're like the blind man that can see people, but they don't look quite right. We still have trouble navigating this world. We must have pure vision, a pure heart. And that's what Jesus means when he says, if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You can be completely blind and live a good life, but you cannot have a dark heart and navigate this world. It will not work. If our heart is what leads us through this world, if it's how we make our decisions, then a dark heart clouded by the love of material things will cause you to stumble each and every time. You will trip and you will fall trying to walk through this world. So the question is, how do I know where my treasure is? How do I know what I'm treasuring? Let me ask you a few questions. What's the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning? Or what's the last thing you're thinking about as you lay your head down at night? Here's the one that's really hard for me. What do you get most excited to talk about? Sometimes I find myself talking about my truck that I'm working on or my motorcycle with a lot more excitement than I talk about my Lord. Or probably the most convicting one, look at your checkbook. Where does all your money go? Most likely, those are the things you treasure. That's where your heart is. You see, the ultimate purpose of storing our treasures in heaven is so that our hearts will be clear and pure, that we would treasure the things of God so that we can navigate this world successfully and so that the world can see his glorious riches through our lives. That's the purpose of storing treasures in heaven. Finally, I want to look at the priority in chapter 24. The priority of this investment. No one can be a slave to two masters, Jesus says. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot be slaves of God and of money. Now, at first, this part might seem like a command, but this actually is not a command. This is Jesus stating a universal, inescapable truth. He doesn't say you shouldn't serve two masters. What does he say? You can't. You can't do it. It is impossible to serve two masters. The truth is, and what Jesus is warning us about here, is that we're always in danger of our possessions possessing us. Money is a great servant, but a horrible master. And that's what Jesus is warning us against, and that's what he's teaching us. Again, back to my illustration of Melody. At the moment that I realized my daughter was seriously hurt, as I was leaving, if someone came to me and said, Pastor Shane, I made this really great dessert, you can't go to the hospital yet, they would see hatred from me. Because they're getting in the way of that thing I treasure, the one that I treasure. See, when push comes to shove, you can't serve two masters. You will choose. And as Jesus teaches us, you will hate the one that made you choose. It's the way treasure works. You'll choose the things that you treasure most, and you will hate the other one for trying to take you away from it. So the question becomes, will you end up despising worldly wealth because it tried to tear you away from God? Or will you end up hating God because he tried to take you away from your wealth? We actually get a picture of this in Luke chapter 18. It's exactly what this looks like and exactly what Jesus is talking about. In Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 18, it says, a ruler, rich man, asked Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus asked him. No one is good but God. You know the commands. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. I have kept all of these from my youth, he said. When Jesus heard this, he told him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. After he heard this, he became extremely sad because he was very rich. You can't serve two masters. It came down to it, and Jesus told him, you lack one thing. And what was that one thing? Putting God first. You might be really proud of all your accomplishments and all the laws that you've obeyed and the great life that you have lived. But until you put God before all that stuff, all your wealth, you still are not serving him. You are still serving your wealth, serving your money, serving your possessions. Part of what I love about that story is when the rich man comes to Jesus and he says, good teacher, what's Jesus' answer to him? No one is good but God. Do you get the little double meaning there? Jesus knows he's God. He's God in the flesh. And that's the way that conversation begins, because what Jesus is saying is, I must come first. And when put to the test, he went away sad. He chose his wealth instead of Christ. You see, verse 24 of our passage today, the idea about serving two masters, is the very reason that the first commandment is the first commandment. I don't know how many of you remember your Sunday school days and the Ten Commandments, but the first commandment is "You shall have no other gods before me." You can only serve one master, and I have to be it. That's the priority of this investment. That's how important it is to store up treasures in heaven. So as I told you at the beginning, I want to end with just some very practical things. And what we're going to do is I'm going to share with you the same four practical steps that I shared last Sunday, but I want to show you how they apply to what we talked about today. So the first of those was, we said, give your first and best. That was the first thing that we said. And this is a practical way that we trust his riches and invest in ventures that are eternal. Give your first and best. We read Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. Every tenth of the land's produce, grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. That's important because remember, this is all about priority. If you are not giving your first and best, then the things of heaven are not what you truly treasure. And that's what we're talking about here. That's what's so important. Your first and best. The second thing we said is give on a regular basis. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, it says, "On the first day of the week, each of you is to set aside something and save in keeping with how he prospers, so that no collections will need to be made when I come." I have a retirement now. Seems really weird. I'm feeling old. But I have a retirement now, and for the longest time, there was no money in there. You know why? Because I didn't put any money in there. Now there's contributions being made on a regular basis, and guess what's happening? There's money in there. Not much. I could live for like a month and a half right now. But the idea is, if that's important, then on a regular basis, I'm going to make deposits there. You see, the things that are important to us, we make time for. They go on the calendar, don't they? So if it's really important to you, then you're going to put it in your schedule. It's going to be on your calendar. You're going to do it at a regular basis. I start every single day by reading the scripture. That's my discipline. You know why? Because this is important to me. This is important to me, and so I make time. And the earlier and earlier and earlier the kids keep starting school, the earlier and earlier and earlier I get up and read the word. Because it's important. So give on a regular basis. Set it whenever you get paid, whenever, whatever you want it to be. It's your discipline, but make it on a regular basis because we make time for the things that are truly important. The third thing is give to your local church. We talked about this a little bit last week in the idea that God commands his people to give to their tabernacle, to the place where they worship. And so you should give to the place where you worship. And this is really great because this is one of the ways, this is a very clear way that we store up treasures in heaven. Here's what I mean by that. In 1961, 15 people got together to plant a church on the St. Charles Mesa. In 1968, they officially became Pleasant View Baptist Church. Had a little building on the corner of Hillside and 29th Lane. In the late 70s, they bought this land right here on the highway. In 1984, they built this sanctuary, and this was all that was here. And then in 1989, they built the fellowship hall and the classroom wing, which is now our offices and our nursery. In a very real, tangible sense, you and I are sitting here today growing closer to God because they invested in eternity right here. And we have opportunities to do the exact same thing. We have expanded our ministry. We planted a church on the north side. We're working on sending out young men to pastor hurting and dying churches. Every year we go up and share the love of Christ and the gospel on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. And through our giving, our church gives as a church to the North American Mission Board, which sends missionaries all over the world. It is the largest missionary sending agency in the world. And our money goes towards that. And so in a very real sense, you and I today, by giving money here at Mesa Christian Fellowship, are investing in eternal things. We're putting treasures in heaven. I don't know how many men, women, children have come to know Jesus Christ right here in this place. I've baptized a bunch of them. When you give here, you are literally investing in things that are eternal. And finally, give joyfully. With all that being said, do I need to explain why we should give joyfully? If that's what you treasure, shouldn't it be an absolute joy to do it? Yeah. Yeah. And as I reflect on that point, I have to be honest with you, I'm a little ashamed sometimes of the joy I get from some of the other things that I treasure that are not God. Now, how excited I was when some new parts showed up this week for my truck. It should be so exciting. And I can tell you at this point, it is so exciting for me. I love, today I did it on the first Sunday of the month, I love putting my tithe check in the offering box at this church. It is just joy to me. When I first started, it was hard. It was discipline. I had to do it because it was important. And now it brings me joy as I think about the lives that have been touched, as I think about the amazing thing God's doing here. It gives me great joy to invest in eternal treasures right here and now. Give joyfully. Give your first and best. Give on a regular basis. Give to your local church and give joyfully. Before I close, I want to say one very important thing. You cannot invest in a retirement until you've opened an account. You cannot put treasure in heaven until you have an account there. And Jesus tells us in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. All of this incredible beauty of storing treasure in heaven and navigating this world with purity comes first and foremost through knowing Jesus Christ, through recognizing the fact that I am a sinner, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, that he lived a perfect life and died on the cross to take the punishment that I deserve, that he was victorious over death, and he raises me with him to eternal life with God. Until I've accepted that truth in my personal heart, in my life, in the depths of who I am, I don't have an account in heaven. I don't have a way to store treasures there. So if you're here today and you've never opened an account, come talk to me after church. We'll open an account. But don't go another day without that. Finally, brothers and sisters, my desire, and hopefully you know this by now, my desire is for you to thrive in your relationship with God. This area of a healthy relationship with God is often difficult to talk about. But we talk about it because I think it is probably one of the most effective ways that the enemy drives a wedge between us and our relationship with God. He uses it more than anything else, probably. And so it's important. And it's my desire that you would thrive in your relationship with God. Trust God. Invest in eternity. And experience a whole new level of intimacy with him. Amen? Stand up with me and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come today, we just want to thank you for your incredible love and your provision. We want to thank you for your incredible goodness. We want to thank you that before we were even born, you had a plan for our salvation, that you've opened wide the doors of heaven and we can walk in through Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for all those things. But Father, as we are thankful, as we show our gratitude to you, help us to live out our thankfulness and live out our gratitude by putting you first and foremost. In every area, Father, I ask that you would be the priority in our marriage, the priority with our children, the priority in our workplace, in our social life. I ask that you would come first in every area of our lives. But today especially, we ask that we would have the wisdom and the strength, that you would empower us to put you first in our wealth, in our material things. Heavenly Father, we do not want to be mastered by material things that are rotting away on this earth. We want the loving God who gave his one and only Son for us to be our one and only master. So guide us in that walk. lay it on our hearts, that we would take these things seriously, that we would give to you our first and best, that we would give to you on a regular basis, that we would take these things seriously and live this out. Because we want pure and clean and clear hearts so we can navigate this world and so the people around us can see your glorious riches displayed in our lives today and on into eternity. Thank you for the privilege. We trust you. We want to invest in the things that last forever. Guide us, empower us for that task. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.